good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I will be keeping you company up until 14:30. Now, it's Tuesday, the 26th of August, 2025, a day of deep remembrance and national pride as Namibia marks Heroes Day for the 35th time since independence. Now, across the country, Namibians are pausing to honor the men and women whose bravery and sacrifice paved the way for our freedom. Now, this year's commemoration is taking place at the Okatima Mulilo Sports Complex in the Zambezi region, a region of great symbolic importance, once a key battleground during the liberation struggle. Now, the event is being addressed by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah under the theme, Build on Bravery, Bound for a Prosperous Future. Now, on this program today, we will unpack the meaning of Heroes Day in today's Namibia context. We'll ask, how do we keep the memory of our liberation struggle alive for the next generation? And what does bravery look like in our current context, from the fight against inequality to the push for innovation and opportunity? How can we as a nation ensure that the sacrifices of the past translate in a truly prosperous future? And as always, your voice is central. You can share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, or through the Eagle FM website and app. Now, whether you're in the stadium in Katima Mulilo, in your living room in Hobabas, or driving through the streets of Windhoek, thank you for joining us on this Heroes Day. This is On The Reader News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked, analyzed, and grounded in their realities of its people. Let's get right into it. Now, since we're talking about Heroes Day, I am joined now in studio by Andrew Nishitile, who is a researcher. So we can just get a breakdown of what this day actually means to every Namibian. Good afternoon, Mr. Andrew, and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis.
Yes, good afternoon, Jojo. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And a greeting out there for the Eagle FM listeners.
Okay. Now, Mr. Andrew, when we're talking about Heroes Day, celebrated annually on the 26th of August, and this year, of course, being celebrated in Zambezi, just what does this day actually mean for every Namibian out there, young, old, middle age? Just what does this day mean for us?
Yeah, the Heroes Day, it's containing a lot to learn, especially youth. So when it comes to the standing up for our rights and to rule among us, that was in the aim of the forming up Swapo Party, and it's also for the good to remembering our forefathers who have fighting before us, such as Kakuruha, Hendrik Wetiboy, Samuel Maharero, Ipumbu Chirongo, and others. So it was also a good thing to praise the youth among the Swapo Party when they decided to forming up the freedom fighters. So which is, instead of just fighting for the diplomatic fighter in the UN, but we have also to taking up arms and showing the world out there that we are tired of be under somebody. So it have a right, or it have a door thing for the youth into understanding that when you are tired of something, you need to be not only to pressing the one that is we left him the behind, but we have also to see that what we are celebrating today, it was in somebody's decision.
As a researcher, what would you say bravery looks like in our current context, from the fight against inequality to the push for innovation and opportunity?
Yeah, I see. We look at in Zambia in 1976, when the UN also guaranteed us that it's a right for our youth to starting taking up books, getting, no matter we have arms in our hand, we have also to educating ourselves in the, for the future, for the sake of our country. So these are also the same things that we have to look at today. Why we have a big number, or let me say, and among the youth, there is no job for them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the job market, what is really going on. Those are also the undermining of our heroes, to fighting for us, but we are still struggling to get what they wanted us to have. So for this, as I said, for the youth, they needing to start to be unite and taking up, I don't know whether it's books or whatever, but to have right in the negotiation of this country when it comes to cater in the job market. So those are the simple things that I can use to advising our youth.
Okay. Now, as we move forward as a nation, how do we perhaps ensure that the sacrifices of the past translate into a true prosperous future that can benefit every Namibian?
There is a lot that's never be coming to the table up to now. I don't know about the participating of the politician that we have in the parliament or in political parties. I think we forget a lot when it comes to the hero of our heroes. So those are now the problems that it confusing us in to see inequality in this country while we were united into fighting for our freedom. To have right, and everybody have a right to rule in this country,
mm-hmm.
ruling politics. But if you look at the negotiation, as I said, for our benefiting in the resources, only few that is are benefited, that is are seeing the development of this country. So that is where I'm saying, I don't know much about why our leaders are forgetting the aiming of be stand up as a Namibian, standing up for the whole Namibians,
mm-hmm.
to benefit it for our resources. So it's still not mobilizing much into say I need him to be voluntarily standing up for the Namibians. But in the future term, you'll find people are forgetting that what we were fighting for. So those are now the things that I'm still learning out of waiting to say we need to look at that. Education is, yes, it's producing. If you look at how we are graduating each and every year. We're finding about 2,000, 3,000. But the market itself or to be sending our graduating to countries that have more job opportunity, we don't have a representative that can open up doors for the Namibians into joining up, because we cannot say in Namibia we need to creating more jobs. I don't see much that the service that we are giving in this country is needed to the other countries. But what we want is that every graduate or undergraduate, but let's say graduate, because our school is for free from grade to grade 12, and university is also taking up by NASAF, so you can also getting opportunity to reaching there. So those are the things that why youth are not getting this opportunity, throwing those negotiating or throwing those opportunity that is out there in the world.
Mm.
Yeah, those are the those are the things that our negotiators who are in as a forerunner or whom they representing us in the in the world there.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do much. I see our leaders were doing much for the United Nations to guarantee us in this day of the university, day of the education that was happening in 1976 in Zambia. It's also commemorating the same day as in 26. Yeah. So we need also to look at that.
Mm.
Put it in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the president has anchored her same sentiment as she was addressing the people and the nation at Katima Mulilo Complex today, where she spoke about corruption, that it will be treated as treason, and that as people rob the Namibian people of their resources. Now, having taken office since March, and we have seen, of course, things that have been brought to light in terms of corruption, just what do you think moving forward with Namibia in terms of fighting corruption? Do you perhaps see that we will make progress, and perhaps maybe those that are brought to book sends out a message, perhaps a strong message to others who may want to commit the same atrocities? Or do you perhaps think that more needs to be done in that regard?
Yeah, more needs to be done when we look at the participant on this project or this administration. So because if you look at the people that are involved in corruption, it doesn't really look much that it was their aim to do that, because they don't have a plan to implementing that policy. For them, it looks like it's an opportunity to make money.
Mm.
As I said, yeah, it's not that we have computers in our SOE, and even to placing up in the one that is how do I call it now? That contributed much into the development. As I said, the negotiators, when it comes to the national development, the negotiators are not doing much for them to say, we want to achieve this as we have a vision 2030, with Harambe Prosperity and NDP that is wanting to achieving something in the future. For them, it's just like, if I'm using up this money for my own benefit, how will the country be benefited, or how will be the nation there benefited? So those are the problems that the president, as you can see, the president is a serious person to look at it, as it's making these ministers and CEO accountable for that. So it means in the future, maybe through the president's office, we will be getting more better future. But for now, it looks like it's a moneymaker thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving forward, us as the Namibian people, perhaps also now the young parents who are now emerging into or going into adulthood, how do you think we should pass on this message in terms of celebration of Heroes Day to our children, so that they can also keep it in memory? Perhaps paraventure, when eventually, yes, do dawn on us and we're no longer here, they can still reflect on it and actually be grateful of this particular day and those that actually paved the way for us to be celebrating it.
Yeah, as I said, the unite of the youth, when it comes to the political, to the wing of plan, Namibian People's Liberation of yeah, it needs to learn a lot that we are united and we have one goal to achieve, and that is when we are having things on our hand. But if we are as a adult, you are advising your child into not to participate in corruption, I think that is a good way of achieving something, because if you are involving in the national project and at the end of the day you are the one who is taking advantage of the opposition that you have, opposition that you're having, it's very destroying this country. That's why if you look at since 2015 up to now, we never reach nothing in terms of the national project, and that is where we're planning to be achieved by 2030. So those are now the things that all of us, we need to look at the 26, what was really happened, how do they were organizing themselves into achieving the independence. So those are the things that we need to learn, to teaching our young ones that be united, know the right of the Namibian, benefiting in terms of the natural resources, and also in education. Let us not drop in school, because we look at others that they have been graduated and they are sitting in the next to you. So I think we need to look at that, and we need to taking up arms and standing in politics. Also, it's also helping us, because once we have the youth in parliament and they know what they want in parliament, because on the look of what we have today in parliament is that some of this, they are just there for the sake of the salary. So also not engaging with the youth and listen to what youth really facing difficulty in life. So those are the things that we need into understanding as a politician. And we need to also to understanding as a parent that our youth or our children are facing challenging such as electricity for them to study, and we have to addressing the issues that are facing the youth.
Yeah, in
parliament. So those are the things that every parent needs to teaching his child and making him understanding or her understanding that the problems that we have is this and that. So those are the things that is inequality still continuing, and I don't know how people are advising president into understanding the such to understanding such as the resources of education, which is not in our students' hands.
Mm-hmm. Your final words for every Namibian as they celebrate and commemorate this day, whether they are sitting at home, perhaps, and also in Katima Mulilo, or perhaps they are in Khobabas or in the streets of Windhoek. Just your final words to every Namibian on this particular day.
Yeah, as I say, what I'm advising people to pick up is that you need to learn from the past, what was really happening there, how do those people were organizing themselves. And as I'm now advising youth there, because I'm really worried about our inequality in this country, and I'm really worried about graduate and parents are forking up money to funding the education, but the government itself is not doing much into creating opportunity for this youth. So those are the problems that it might end up stealing a challenge, no matter how hard we're fighting for corruption. Corruption is not the opportunity. It's the opportunities that the policy to be implemented and look at what is really the benefiting of the in terms of development? Who is needing to developing this country?
Mm-hmm.
It's the youth, it's the Namibians, but not the the investors. So those are the things that we need to understand what we were helped to be achieved by the United Nations, by the nation who were supporting us in the during the struggle. They were not a part of us, but they were part of us in terms of diplomatic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are the things that the Namibians, especially in the youth, the leader of Ndosi, the workers organization, they needed to pick up a new tools that they can also be a part of the negotiation, that when we needed to create jobs, those people who are coming to Namibia, they needed to be including us on their negotiations of how we pay, how they're going to pay our people, how do they going to creating a platform which is now they just don't need to come with their engineers, with their story of saying we needing somebody who have experience of 20, 30 years in the industry. So those are the things that is needing to be done, as I said, for you to be recognized is when you are standing up on your own, as the plan was standing up for the terms of picking up arms, but not by diplomatic fight.
Yeah. Mr. Andrew, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis, and actually making time for us and sharing your insights with us right here.
Yeah, and thank you, Juju, for enjoying your program.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there you had it from Andrew Nishitile. He is a researcher just gracing us with what he thinks this day is all about and how Namibians can continue to uphold this legacy to the little ones who still need to know and understand what Heroes Day, 26 August, actually signifies. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. But I'll be back shortly to continue. Stay with us.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Now, various dignitaries, including Vice President Lucia Witbooi, Prime Minister Eliang Rere, and Deputy Prime Minister Netangwe Ithete, have arrived at the Katima Mulilo Sports Complex, where the 35th Heroes Day commemoration is underway. Also present are Cabinet Ministers, Deputy Ministers, the Commander-in-Chief of the Namibian Defence Force, the Inspector General of the Namibian Police, and the Minister of Information and Communication Technology, Emma Theophilus, alongside traditional leaders, veterans, and community members, alongside thousands of Namibians, have gathered for this commemoration of the Heroes Day. Now, the national event, which takes place annually on 26 August, honors the sacrifices of those who fought for Namibia's independence and pays a tribute to fallen heroes and heroines. Now, this year's commemoration is particularly significant as it marks the first Heroes Day to be officiated by President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwe since assuming office. Now, delivering the keynote address under the theme Built on Bravery, Bound for a Prosperous Future, President Nandi-Ndaitwe is expected to reflect, or did reflect, on Namibia's liberation struggle, acknowledge the resilience of veterans, and highlight the importance of unity and national development in securing a prosperous future for generations to come. Let's now take a listen to what the president spoke about during her speech.
Of our government, as we reflect on the unwavering courage of our heroes and heroines that have characterized the courage that we share as a nation today, we must look back with admiration to the Namibian people's determination to pursue an armed liberation struggle for justice, sovereignty, and independence at all costs. Against this background, it's befitting for all of us, with deepest appreciation and gratitude, to pay special homage to the unit of the South African Liberation Army, Swala combatants, the forerunner of the People's Liberation Army of Namibia, SWAPO's military wing. This one unit was led by Comrade Johnny Yaoto Nangudu, and some of his compatriots include Simeon Inekela Kambo Chihungileni, Patrick Israel Lungada, Iambo Victor Mensa, James Amukwaya Angula, Nelson Kavala, among others. This is a generation that ignited the first spark of frame at Omunguru Wombashe in Omusati region, followed by many battles, and Zambezi then Kaprivi became the main operational area of the SWAPO freedom fighters in the early days of our armed struggle. To the point that places like Kamenga, our director of ceremony talked about it, have become household names for SWAPO fighters. It was not easy to open all the fronts for military operations. However, their heroic sacrifice became the foundation of a free, democratic, and sovereign Namibia we cherish today. We should therefore honor and respect them now and the future, as they have succeeded under very difficult conditions. In this context, it is appropriate for me to quote the late Comrade Toivo Yatoivo, one of the revered liberation stewards and a hero, who said, and I quote, "I know the struggle will be longer and bitter. I also know that my people will wage that struggle, whatever the cost. Only when we are granted our independence will the struggle stop. Indeed, the struggle was long and bitter. Many people were displaced, some forced into exile, precious lives lost, and some people left disabled, while others carried the scars of the war, both physically, mentally, and psychologically. Of course, today our country is free and independent, and in our present and future is now in our own hands. Fellow Namibians, Namibia has indeed come of age. Since independence, under the guidance of SWAPO Party, we have made remarkable strides in social economic development transforming lives and building a foundation for prosperity. Development is a process. Just imagine, at independence, it was not easy to reach Katima Mlilo. Today, from the border with South Africa to Katima Mlilo, you are on the entire road. Zambezi region is today connected with good road network to our neighbors, Botswana and Zambia. While not all the challenges facing our people are addressed, no doubt there is significant improvement in different social and economic sectors, such as increased schools, clinics, water points, electricity, economic infrastructure, and of course, even our towns are expanding. The 8th administration, guided by the SWAPO party principles, will therefore accelerate our national development agenda through targeted intervention as articulated in our country's National Development Plan, NDP 6, that is informed by the 2024 SWAPO Election Manifesto and its implementation plan. And in so doing, we are based on the strong foundation that is created over the years. As a government, we are committed to empowering the youth in our country, advancing industrialization, promoting the beneficiation of our natural resources, and creating employment opportunities, and intensifying our fight against corruption. These efforts are the greatest tribute we can offer to those who paid the ultimate price and who we are honoring for our freedom today. As part of youth empowerment, job creation, and economic development, the Youth Development Fund will soon be operationalized. All the regional governors are already informed and invitations are already sent out. I want to appeal to the first beneficiary not to let the nation down, but to ensure the success of this program. For those who be responsible for the implementation, please consider projects that makes economic sense, and not those presented by the people you know, even if you can see the project is not viable. If you do that, we will all fail together. Fellow Namibians, as we reflect on our past, let us continue to build the Namibia we want, a just and shared prosperity. We must continue to engage so that we build trust among ourselves. Trust is the heart of our democracy. Without it, despair can breed action that threatens the very fabric of our society. I therefore call upon all our leaders at every level across the entire political spectrum, traditional, religious, community, business, and civic, to renew their commitments to the maintenance of peace, justice, and sustainable development. I have to inform this gathering, as I was coming, because this is what we want, people to be united when we make sure that we work together. As I was coming, I received a message from Honorable Venani, who is sending his best wishes to the audience as we celebrate the Heroes Day. And he is saying he could have come, but he is recovering from the horse injury. We wish him quick recovery. This collaboration will ensure that the fruits of freedom translate into shared prosperity for every Namibian in all the 14 regions of our country. As your leader, your president, I'm very much concerned. They are all gone now. I'm very much concerned that if we are not changing our attitude, we are in a very, very serious problem. It's so sudden that we are not really holding hands, lifting each other up. We are just on each other's throat. You can go to political institutions. You can go to the religious institutions. You can go to the I was saying I'm failing as a nation. We are on a crusade for self-destruction. We are failing to lift each other up and push forward together for the common good for all in society. It is troubling me deeply that we are too much at each other's throat in all institutions of our society, be it in families, traditional authorities, religious institutions, and the worst of it, in politics. We are all one, my dear fellow Namibians. I urge citizens, to resolve our differences with respect, tolerance, and sensitivity by peaceful means and not to resort to violence, be it physical or emotional. Insulting ourselves, that's the biggest damage you can do to yourself and to the other person. I'm telling you, the anger you are showing on the words you are expressing to others, I can tell it is killing you inside. And I don't want that to happen to our country. For those who have not seen or have no knowledge of what it looks to liberate our country, I appeal to you to treasure the peace, liberty and justice we are able to enjoy today, for it was paid for in blood and through untold sacrifice. Today we are witnessing or seeing the impact of wars on our television sets, on social and print medias, the suffering, the destruction, and the killing many parts of the world. War is the worst situation to live in. It mostly negatively affects innocent victims in society, particularly women and children. As a nation, we must preserve our peace at all costs.
And there you had it from the president. Let's now take a commercial break and we'll be back shortly. This is On the Radar News Analysis. Stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. We're still talking about the commemoration of Heroes Day being today, the 26th of August, and being hosted in Zambezi region, which also carries symbolic weight as the region was a crucial site of armed resistance during the liberation struggle. And now joining us is the voice of a young person, Christoph Ndengu, who is the SRC Vice President of the UNAM Hagege Ngop campus. Christoph, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
How are you?
I'm all good. Now, Christoph, we're talking about Heroes Day, 26th of August. And of course, I'm sure from a very young age, every year annually, Heroes Day was being spoken about. But what does this actually mean for you in a youthful context?
Thank you so much. I think for the longest time, and I think this is how I've always defined it. It's supposed to be a mirror, both a mirror and a mandate. A mirror to say that it's supposed to be a time to reflect back as of the youth, of everyone that struggled on that 26th of August 1966 at Onguru Mbashe. Their generational mandate at the time was to give us political freedom, right? However, now in this context of the youth, we are not fighting for political emancipation or political freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We have a generational mandate to carry, and that now is to how to become heroes of more inclusive education, quality healthcare, job security.
Correct.
All of these things that are in keeping with the national plans, the SDGs, that is our mandate right now, and that is what Heroes Day is for me right now as a youth.
Mm. Now, just in her address, the president spoke about something that speaks quite to the core, hey, in terms of addressing conflict resolution, sort of to say, you know, about those who have, obviously, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But at the end of the day, she spoke about respecting one another and not hurting yourself and the next person in the process. And of course, we see some of these things happening, but then we see it also happening from our leaders, those who are in power, sometimes also from different political parties. How do we just say they address themselves in a manner that also being themselves examples to us, and not and to us, I mean to the young people?
That's actually a very, very beautiful question. And also hearing what the president said, so she spoke on constructive dialogue.
Mm.
Constructive dialogue, we have to understand in itself, the word in itself, constructive, means to build.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at it from that angle, we are talking about it not being a fight, it's not a debate, it's not diction, it's collective sense-making. Especially in the Namibian context, constructive dialogue should link directly to our Vision 2030, our SDG 16.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about peace, justice, and strong institutions. I mean, of course, we've seen so many times our politicians, our policymakers engage one another, talk to one another. I think in terms of Namibia, we are doing fairly well when it comes to that. We are very respectful to one another when we engage, when we talk. And I'm not just speaking in terms of politicians. Just day-to-day conversations about key issues affecting us as Namibians. I feel like we have a strong understanding of what consultative and constructive dialogue should be. And we are doing fairly, fairly well. And I should commend the president for bringing it up because if we don't mm-hmm. if we don't speak about it as much, if we don't practice it as much as we want to, if we need to, we are going to, we are headed to doomland, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, interesting. Now, when we talk about Heroes Day, we often reflect on the heroes and heroines of the past that fought for the liberation struggle of Namibia. But I feel like in everyday context, we can actually speak about heroes, right? Modern day heroes who have also paved the way for the peace that we now enjoy or made significant contributions to the land of the brave. How about those particular heroes that we also need to reflect on? Now, for you, Ndengu, moving forward, how would you want Heroes Day to be celebrated, and what things would you want them to be incorporated?
Thank you so much, Happy. Again, like I said in my opening, Heroes Day should be the mandate. We have a generational mandate right now. We are not fighting for the very same things Commander Jonia Otto and the delegation fought
mm-hmm.
for.
Mm-hmm.
We have different fight, a fight that is specific to the current times of Namibia. And I alluded to things such as job security. We have a staggering and painful statistic on unemployment, youth unemployment in Namibia. And
yeah.
these are the things that for right now. So when we speak about Heroes Day in the current age, in the 2025 Namibian space, I feel like we need to really acknowledge the brains, the bodies behind trying to fight for the current fight.
Mm.
Everyone that's doing their little bit, a little part in trying to making sure that at least we reduce the statistics of unemployment, or people that are advocating to quality education, people that are advocating for proper and attainable healthcare. These are our modern day heroes. And I can mention so many.
Yeah.
But it's about really celebrating what we currently have, what we are currently doing, because if we are not seeing these people and we're not appreciating them, acknowledging them, what they are doing right now, we are not boosting them. We are not helping them. We are not seeing them. We are not helping them to carry this mandate for us. Celebrating Heroes Day forward, I would like us to incorporate things like not just talk about what is this, the fight at Ongulumbashe.
Mm.
I want us to talk any other fight Namibia has had from that day, any significant fight and the resolutions of that fight, to celebrate names long after the Ongulumbashe happened. We need to see these people. We need to to acknowledge and celebrate them.
Of course. Now, one thing comes to my mind also when we talk about Heroes Day, Christoph, is the peace that we enjoy in this country, hey? Regardless of the different tribes that we are, people from other countries can actually come and settle down in Namibia peacefully. And that's something that I've seen with those around me. Sometimes they are not specifically born and bred in Namibia, but the kindness that we do extend to one another. Of course, we have our flaws, and that is another story for another day. But then what does it mean for you? Apart from the peace that we also enjoy, another thing that also stands out for me is the freedom of expression, you know, the freedom of opinion that we are entitled to in this land of the brave. What is one particular thing about Namibia that stands out for you, Christoph?
I think, like you said, it's freedom of expression.
Mm.
We have so many countries out there, so many nations in which the youth, first of all, do not have a voice. They do not have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
However, we are doing significantly really, really well in Namibia, allowing youth to have a say, to have a seat at the table, allowing youth to be part of decision-making, policy-making, policy-shifting. And this, I think, is one of Namibia's most crucial and most important achievements to date.
Mm.
We have so many young parliamentarians. We have so many young people outside parliament that are also doing exceedingly well.
Yeah.
We have Christoph Ndengu on the radio right now.
Mm.
We have young leaders across so many sectors in Namibia. I think outside the peace that we have, outside the education that we are getting, outside the healthcare, outside everything else, we have a seat at the table. It's not the youth. Not just the old people, it's not the babies. Everyone in Namibia is seen, everyone in Namibia is heard. And these issues, these concerns are tackled and they are listened to. Because there's a difference between having a seat at the table, but you don't have voting rights, for example.
Exactly.
Or speaking here and there, allowing you to go on TV and talk about a specific matter of concern, but you are not, it's not taken up, it's not heard. That is not the case in Namibia. We speak and we are listened to. We speak and we are heard. We speak and policies actually shift. We have so many student, so many youth leaders. We have a beautiful student body. We are ahead as Namibian youth. I really just want to allude to that again. I think that's one of the most favorite things to date.
You know what? Irregardless of something not being so perfect, we shouldn't shy away from actually celebrating the good that is happening. But Ndengu, lastly, before I do let you go, how do you suggest we keep the memory of our liberation struggle alive for the next generation?
I think we need to understand, happy, first of all, that Hero Day isn't nostalgia, and it shouldn't be nostalgia. It's supposed to be a performance review. Our forebears secured our freedom, of course, and our task is now to turn this into our livelihoods. If hydrogen, logistics, tourism, if those don't translate to youth skills and decent work, we've missed the assignment. A true hero, of course, again, in 2025, is a Namibian who turns all these ideals into outcomes, quietly, consistently, and for the many. So I feel moving forward, again, this shouldn't be just nostalgia. It should be about looking back, reflecting, and having come up with mandates and generational fights for this current time, reviewing each other, performances, reviewing their performance during the time, and also just seeing how far we've come as a country from that very day, how many fights we've had, how many significant fights we've had, how what those resolutions were, and what we plan to do as a country moving forward. And again, I always want to allude, and any opportunity I get, I want us to really tap into SDGs and more closer to home. Of course, our NDP 6 that was recently launched.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have enough time, but if we put our hands together, if we hold hands and really just say, this is the Namibia we want to see, then we can really take it up from there. We can realize all these goals, all these plans we have for Namibia, mm-hmm. and we can really today.
Absolutely. Christoph Ndengu, I always appreciate when you make time for us right here on the Reader News Analysis and share your wisdom and insights with us.
And a pleasure is always mine. Thank you so much for having me happy this afternoon.
Okay. And there we had it from Christoph Ndengu. And now with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Remember, your opinions are also welcome and contributions right here on the Reader News Analysis. 083-288-401 is the number that gets you in studio.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Velvicher University presents new short courses available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education, School of Law programs, Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution, Admission Requirements, Grade 2 of Senior Certificate, or equivalent NQF Level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English, or Grade 11 Certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English, plus 2 years relevant industry experience is required. Certificate in Telecommunications Policy and Regulation, Admission Requirements, Grade 12 Senior Certificate or equivalent NQF Level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English, or grade 11 certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English, plus 2 years relevant industry experience is required. Cost $5,500 Namibian dollars. Application period from the 1st of August 2025 to the 30th of August 2025. Velvicher University, where everyone is an achiever.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle.
Get your monthly essential products for just 599 Namibian dollars at USAID. 10 kilograms each of Sugar King white sugar, Top Score Super Maize meal, and the Buck Pro Fat Cook flour. Also 5 kilos Rice King, as well as 500 grams Pasta King pasta. All 5 products for only 599 Namibian dollars. You save. I save. Yes, we all save at USAID.
Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are still tuned into On The Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. And now we tell you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators and trading economics. Now, one US dollar today will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 64 cents. 1 euro will get you 20 Namibian dollars and 54 cents. 1 pound sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 79 cents, while 1 Australian dollar equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 45 cents. 1 Botswana pula equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 31 cents. Now moving on to trading economics. Brent crude oil futures fell more than 1% to 68 US dollars per barrel on Tuesday after hitting a nearly 3-year week high in the prior session. Now, with traders closely monitoring developments in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, Monday's rally was fueled by concerns of supply disruptions after Ukraine launched the drone strikes on Russian power and energy facilities on Sunday, while US President Donald Trump also warned that further sanctions against Moscow could be imposed if no progress is made toward a peace deal within the next 2 weeks. Now, traders are also watching the impact of an additional 25% tariff on India over its purchases of Russian oil, set to take effect on Wednesday. Now, on the demand side, expectations of looser U.S. monetary policy offered support as Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Friday signaled a possible rate cut in September, which could boost economic growth and energy demand. Elsewhere, attention is also on API's weekly crude oil stock data due later today. European natural gas futures fell more than 1% to 33.5 megawatts per hour, that is 33.5 euros, snapping a 4-day rally as traders weighed Norwegian maintenance and geopolitical risks. Plant work at several facilities will cut flows, though curbs at the key Troll field should be milder than feared. Europe is racing to build inventories before winter, with storage levels at 75.5% versus 91% last year. Now, Germany at 68.6%, Italy at 87.4%, and France at 83.8%. Markets remain on edge over the Russian-Ukraine conflict as Kyiv struck Russian energy sites and US signaled more sanctions on Moscow. Hong Kong's trade deficit widened to $34.1 billion US dollars in July 2025. That is from $21.9 billion in the same month last year. Now, exports rose 14.3% year on year to $446.3 billion, driven by strong growth in sales of electrical machinery and equipment at 22.8% and telecommunications and audio equipment at 32.0%. Now, exports to Russia as a whole surged at 19.3%, while shipments to non-Russian markets declined, particularly to the US with -7.6% and the Netherlands at -42.1%. Meanwhile, imports increased 16.5% to €480.4 billion, mainly due to higher purchases of electrical machinery and related parts at 21.9% and telecommunications and audio visual equipment at 49.8%. Now, imports from most major suppliers recorded strong growth, by Vietnam at +129.3%, Thailand at +33.1%, Singapore at +28.7%, and the UK at +24.8%. Now, for the first 7 months of 2025, the cumulative trade deficit reached $218.6 billion, with exports up to 12.7% and imports up 13.2% compared to the same period last year. Poland's unemployment rate rose to 5.4% in July 2025 from 5.2% in the previous month, in line with market expectations. Now, this marks the highest jobless rate since February, as the number of registered unemployment or unemployed grew by 33,800 from a month earlier to 830,800. In July 2024, the jobless rate was lower than 5.0%. Now, that's what we had for you today in terms of trading economics. Let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. When we return, we shall be telling you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders of Namibia. Now, remember, our studio line is very much open and you can equally be a partaker in the news analysis right here on 083-288-401.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back and brace yourself for news beyond the borders of Namibia. We start off regionally, move over to continental news, and thereafter international news. Now, starting off in South Africa, where they are highlighting the role of women in maritime industry.
Women's Month, and an all-female shift will load a cargo vessel of over 50,000 tons at the Richards Bay port, KwaZulu-Natal. SABC News reporter Jade Pulser is in Richards Bay and joins us now. So Jade, a very good morning to you. It's an all-women team doing all the work. Take us through what's happening there.
I'm just going to step out a shot and show you the port of Transnet here in Richards Bay. And this is a crucial hub for the country's economy and a significant play in global trade. Now, today on your screens, you're seeing an all-women's-led team, and they're operating here. And really just looking at the operations on the ground. Now, you would know that the port is a deep water port, making it ideal for handling large bulk carriers, including Cape-sized vessels. Its primary function is the export of bulk ores, minerals, and other commodities, such as coal. And a very important month for us, it is Women's Month, to see these ladies leading in this particular field is quite astounding. But to talk more about the initiative on the ground and what's currently taking place, I am joined by the Terminal Port Manager, Phumlile Cele. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Cele. Just talk to us about the operations. We are seeing it's an all-women's-led team this morning.
No, thank you. Look, I was just to demonstrate. Yes, indeed. This vessel, it's got about 25,000 ton. The operation currently is being handled by all women. And then they handle different activities. Some of them from the supervisor, chief supervisors. Some of them fleet supervisors. Others, they are just operators driving our own machines, forklift, haulers, which is the one that is carrying cargo. As TPT, Richards Bay, we just demonstrate that women are capable. Being the Women's Month, and also we're showcasing our ability to make sure that our own women, they are equal as men, as they can handle this difficult operation. As we can see, the operation is busy, and then these women are showcasing that whatever that you give them, they are able to handle it. So this is a demonstration indeed of what we're doing. Even last year, it's a continuation. Even last year, we were in another operation. We were also showcasing the very same operation that these ladies can really indeed operate in these difficult operations.
And it's wonderful to see that. Thank you so much for joining us here on SABC News, Mr. Cele. I think I'm going to try and rope in one of the ladies who are also on the ground and who are leading this operation. Tell us, what's your name and what's your title?
My name is Nompumelelo Mthembu. I'm an operations coordinator here at Sixaris. Yes.
It is Women's Month, and this industry is seen as a male-dominated industry. Talk to us about breaking the barriers.
Yes. Firstly, I would like to thank EU Transnet for the opportunity that has given us as women la at Richards Bay, whereby we can showcase our talent, sibonise ukuthi also us as women can do umsebenzi. That was last seen as umsebenzi wabantu besilisa. So siyabonga kakhulu ekampanini. So ngizoqala nje ngerole yami engiyenzayo ka operations. I oversee the operations. I allocate my resources accordingly, ensuring ukuthi we have enough personnel, we have enough all the activities are covered, making sure that our vessel turnaround time are met. We are complying in terms of safety, and our people are well looked after.
And it's an amazing job that you're doing. Thank you so much for talking to us. I think another, you know, cornerstone of this port is that it runs 24 hours and it is a leading coal export terminal. And as you can see on your screens right now, the ladies are busy. It is highly advanced. They are using highly advanced equipment in handling this massive volume of coal. The terminal is also a major link in the logistics chain, connecting South African's mines, rather, and all the commodities that are collected here to international markets. And as we celebrate Women's Month, we also pay tribute to the hardworking women in their respective fields. And here at Richards Bay Port Terminal, you can see them hard at work as they are making sure that the commodities, especially from Richards Bay, are channeled throughout South Africa.
Africa is urged to industrialize mineral wealth.
African Critical Minerals Summit is convened under the theme, The True Value of Africa's Critical Minerals, Strategic Focus on Value Addition. This summit put the spotlight on Africa's potential to lead in the global critical minerals sector through beneficiation, policy innovation, and sustainable growth. with geopolitical developments affecting the continent, President of the South African Junior Mining Council, Fred Arendse, says the continent must use its minerals as leverage on the global stage.
We have enough policies in place. What's important is actually to action those policies and to find those synergies. And here we need to thank Donald Trump, the president of America, that has actually put a lot of pressure on Africa. And that actually, you know, action everybody into high mode to see how best do we collaborate as a continent and how best do we explore and exploit the minerals that we have. And I think in time, you know, the U.S. and the West will see, you know, the value that we as a continent can create with or without them.
Aims to position the continent not only as a resource hub, but as a leader in shaping the narrative around sustainable extraction, local beneficiation, and inclusive economic growth. Africa Mineral Strategy Group's Patrick Melinda Lubenga says it becomes a race against time to make this a reality.
We host the biggest reserves of these metals required in the transition. But what are we saying as the Africa Mineral Strategy Group is that we will not be suppliers as we have been. We have supplied the world for a very, very long time. This time we want to be strategic partners. And what does that mean? We locally want to process, even if it means primary processing at home. Then we can export. But above all, we want the industries to be here. And it's possible.
Minerals are important for the global just energy transition, digital transformation, and opportunities to industrialize economies and create jobs. Energy expert Professor Samson Mampweli speaks on the importance of beneficiation.
This morning's discussions also touched on the issues around the cost of electricity and the fact that it's starting to affect the economy with some of the industries starting to shut down. So that's where critical minerals and local beneficiation comes on board in terms of safeguarding the electricity prices going forward. When we do local beneficiation, we basically reduce the price of the goods, which basically gets passed over to the goods, to the prices of the electricity.
The African Union has been called upon to be intentional in including local beneficiation of critical minerals as part of economic strategies for the future.
South Africa is the number one supplier of platinum to the USA. But today the USA wants to detect the model of trade via tariffs, which is very unfortunate. DRC has lots of minerals, but they've been cornered by US. So we need to go onto the table and say this is what we have. It's either you come onto the table on our own terms, not your terms. Then we can negotiate in terms of extraction and in terms of processing in-house, and then in terms of the global market itself. So that is the strength that we have. We can't be begging while we have the resources.
The summit comes as South Africa is formalizing small-scale artisanal mining, with delegates also touching on the issue of illegal mining. The African Free Continental Trade Area has been highlighted as one of the avenues to help economies on the continent.
Day one of the 2025 African Critical Minerals Summit drawing to a close, with calls for transparency, clean governance, and regional integration in realizing the true potential of the critical minerals. There's also talk of investments in the building of infrastructure for local beneficiation of these minerals. Katlego Rodi, SABC News in Johannesburg.
US threatens to disconnect South Africa from SWIFT.
Well, we start off tonight's show in South Africa, where local media is reporting that a high-level meeting involving top banking executives and the country's finance minister over potential U.S. sanctions is taking place, or rather took place. Now, Sowetan, which is a daily newspaper, said that their conversation focused on an American bill that, of course, is targeting African National Congress leaders over South Africa's ties with Russia and China. The report indicated fears of restrictions on South Africa's access to the SWIFT interbank payment network, a move that could cripple the country's economy. Now, while the South African Treasury engages its counterparts in the U.S. to ease these tensions, local banks are now bracing for the impact. Of course, tensions with the U.S. have escalated since January, with the Trump administration challenging South Africa over much of its domestic and foreign policies. South Africa's top banking executives and finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, have held discussions on the potential fallout if Washington were to impose sanctions on the country. That is according to a report by Sowetan on Monday. The talks, which took place at a recent Banking Association of South Africa board meeting, reportedly centered on those concerns that, of course, U.S. lawmakers are advancing that bill. Well, let's move on now to get more details on this. We're now joined by Sandile Swana, a governance expert and also a political analyst. Great to have you on the show with us. Now, of course, we have seen SWIFT sanctions devastate other economies around the world. Countries like Russia and Iran have reported devastating impacts to their GDPs. South Africa's economy, on the other hand, is a little bit more diversified. So give us a sense of just how vulnerable you think South Africa is to these sanctions.
Thank you so much. The first thing is that when you read the bill itself, it's certainly quite narrowly focused on certain leaders of the African National Congress. So it's not sanctions that would affect the nation as a whole. Number two, you are quite correct in saying that our economy is diversified. I mean, some of our bankers that you've referenced here actually reported in the past 10 days that they haven't seen much impact of even the trade war itself on the banking accounts of their clients, who are doing international trade. And what is diversified is that actually, if you aggregate the European Union is our second largest trade partner. Number one is China. Number three is the U.S. And the U.S. is actually quite a small portion of our international trade. So there are certain aspects of that. There are certain regions that will be affected, the Cape, the Western Cape, the Eastern Cape, and the Northern Cape. Mm. But broadly, the South African economy is largely immune from this. Mm.
But what happens going forward if we do see those sanctions kick in and we do see South Africa sort of kicked out of that SWIFT system? Do you think that there is legitimate worry, given that we're seeing leaders meeting today? And also, I'd like to get a sense of whether you think there is enough to cushion the country in terms of the deals it has with regional blocs like the AFCFTA.
What has been said in a number of sectors, what the reports we've got from trade and industry, our Department of Trade and Industry, barring the sanctions, let's just talk about the tariff wars that have been going on, is that by and large, those issues are largely catered for in terms of the risk diversification. So the issue of the SWIFT system is a remote risk at this point in time. It's not something that can happen. However, if it were to happen, it is not as if there are no alternatives entirely.
Right. Now, it is interesting because we are hearing that U.S. lawmakers have advanced this bill that is basically reviewing bilateral ties with South Africa. Now, we don't know when this bill could be passed. We're hearing pretty soon. But looking at the cards on the table, how likely is it that the U.S.-South Africa Bilateral Relations Review Act, which is what the bill is called, do you think that will pass the House of Reps, given that it's gone this far? And how do you see it impacting other areas like trade, military, cooperation, and, of course, overall diplomatic engagements with South Africa? Because that bill is a reality.
The bill is a reality, correct? The other realities are that the very same people, the three nations that are causing this tension, at least the three plus Israel, number four, which is Iran, China, and Russia. Trump himself is very busy negotiating with these nations. It can happen that they strike a deal, and then those tensions take a different form. If Trump has identified us on a serious note as an enemy, then military cooperation cannot be there, for example, one of the things you've listed there. However, even in the height of these trade wars that have been going on, certain our minerals are traveling well to the United States, platinum and so on and so forth, without any trouble. Trump wants those minerals, and the Americans have made a lot of investments here. So I don't think that they will keep the bill, and the act actually is probably going to be an act in hand in case that they need to use a stick rather than carrots. But the dynamics to me are that we're unlikely to get there in the shorter term.
I certainly like your optimism, but one thing President Trump has been known for is being quite unpredictable. And I'd like to get your take on this, because some believe that decisions like this mark a significant turning point when it comes to U.S. diplomacy. We're seeing sort of the use of financial infrastructure to enforce the U.S. political agenda. What are your thoughts, not just when it comes to
Ethiopian doctors train in China in advanced medical imaging
for the outbreak, so we have designed a special coil.
These doctors are from Ethiopia. They're now in one of the leading companies in China for medical imaging equipment. This is part of their training, which started in mid-August.
More than 20 doctors from Ethiopia participated in the training, mainly from teaching hospitals and general hospitals. Nearly half of them are radiologists and imaging technicians, as well as some oncologists and cardiopulmonary doctors. The training is mainly on new technologies, new developments, and the application of artificial intelligence in clinical diagnosis.
The training in Shanghai lasts 5 days. It includes visiting manufacturers and classroom training by the city's leading hospital.
In addition to receiving classroom training, on-site practice is also important. Now the doctors and the city's famous Zhongshan Hospital to get a deeper understanding of their training and how China's medical system works.
At China's leading department of nuclear medicine, doctors show them the application of positron emission tomography scanner, or PET. The new and most advanced technology gives comprehensive pictures of cells and tissues inside a patient's body. The technology is considered the best way so far to guide the treatment of tumors and neuro and cardio diseases. Ethiopia is going to get its first PET scanner soon.
Until now, there is no PET in Ethiopia, but it's coming soon. So we're going to do PET scan. So that's very useful for us.
The treatment also opens new doors for future cooperation.
They are eager to send their radiology doctors to our centers to have 3 to 6 months training to help them to handle the basic skills of the nuclear medicine, so that we can help them to build the new department of nuclear medicine and also the benefit of patients in their country.
Apart from medical imaging technology, understanding the workflow of Chinese hospitals is also important for some doctors, as the population of Ethiopia is rising quickly.
Urban farming in Uganda tackles food insecurity and youth unemployment.
By the Community Development and Livelihood Project, the initiative aims to tackle youth unemployment and food insecurity through innovative farming techniques.
This project we started in February last year, and the felt need was to change the mindset of the younger people towards agriculture, and also to provide job opportunities to young people through innovative urban farming.
Many residents here live on less than a dollar a day and face challenges such as poor sanitation, high unemployment, and drug abuse within the community. The project offers a crucial lifeline. Nora, a young farmer and trainee, turned her grandmother's compound into a thriving garden after receiving training.
I first seek permission, then I told my grandma, can I easily construct my farm here because I have skills I've gained
I showed her my notes, I showed her my plan, and then I started constructing. And also, since I was skilled enough, I also called my friends who we studied together, and we already skilled, so we started it up.
So far, nearly 800 youths, including school children, have been trained. Many now grow food at home, sell surplus produce to local markets, and earn an income.
I can now set up something at home, like on the veranda, which I never considered useful space. Then I can also plant tomatoes and kales for cooking at home instead of getting them from the market. This will also help me in getting some money.
Others provide services to the farming community, such as transportation, creating a ripple effect of economic activity.
This project has provided direct and indirect employment opportunities to the people of Kamocha. Those who are practicing it at home are selling the surplus to the market and they earn income. They are people who are providing services to people who are working in this project. They are also benefiting, like people in the transport sector.
Local residents say the initiative is also helping to keep young people occupied and away from potentially dangerous situations.
This program has helped mostly the youth of this area by teaching them how to grow food crops, and it also makes them busy so that they do not join bad peer groups.
With more green spaces now visible across the settlement, the project hopes to replicate the model in other slums across Kampala by setting up at least 4 additional training centers. Beryl Oro, CGTN.
China's Ceylon Group to build tire plant in Egypt's Suez Canal zone.
Oud Mahmoud, this is not a happy day. He's buying new tires for his car, the cost of which to him is a fortune.
The issue I usually face is finding specific tire sizes. I don't find them at regular stores. They are maybe available at big scale companies. The problem is also the prices and the quality are not aligned. That makes me use the tires I have until they are completely worn out. I don't care about the risk because they are very expensive.
According to the Egyptian Minister of Transportation, Egypt consumes about 16 million tires annually, only 15% of which are produced locally, and most of those are tires for trucks, motorcycles, and tricycles. So when Egypt devalued the pound in 2022, almost tripling the exchange rates against foreign currencies, a tire crisis emerged, made worse by the Red Sea shipping crisis.
The wars in the Middle East and the Red Sea are what pushes shipping boats to take longer routes, increase their fares, and the insurance rates increases. This issue makes the cost high and the delivery duration long. Shipping costs jumped about 100%, but they are starting to go down now, which can add up to 15% more costs on tire shipments.
Prices of tires increased by 200 to 300%.
And of course, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On The Reader News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkan Anadengi program brought to you by Losushimi. Also, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut keeps you company from 16:30. And thereafter, the Business Economic segment from 1800 Hours by David Chombe. And from me, Ndafa FBJU, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful Heroes Day.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically, specifically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM.
Omutiha would take it off a guna, e matina, omjo. She calls a fast and anana, long as she fa, ya, she became a shiwana. E moyao, or tango got it some winning.